This evening, I want to challenge you. I hope that you will be encouraged by what you already see in your life, your spiritual life especially. But that as we review these things and challenge ourselves to greater heights, that we will at the same time see the need for growth. At 211 degrees Celsius, water is just hot. It's as hot as it can get without being 212 degrees. The boiling point of water. 212 degrees, water boils, and with the boiling of water comes steam. Steam can be used to power an engine. An engine that can transport goods all over the world. And 1 degree makes all the difference. Did you know that the average margin of victory over the last 25 years or so in all major golf tournaments is less than 3 strokes? In 2018, the U.S. men's swim relay won the gold medal by just 0.01 of a second. Literally, a fingertip. The average margin of victory at the Indy 500 over the last 10 or so years has been 1.54 seconds. The difference between first and second place in those races, $657,000. 1 degree can make all the difference. 1 degree. Indeed, think for a moment what God can do with an extra degree from us as His children. In Revelation chapter 3, the words there ring very loudly to our need of just one more degree. Revelation chapter 3, we'll begin reading in verse 14. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. And you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourselves, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. He who overcomes, I will grant him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The basic message of Revelation chapter 3 in this letter to the church at Laodicea is that God wants our all. And if we give God any less than our all, we seem to be lukewarm. And so to be on fire for God, to be zealous as God would have us to be, we turn our attention this evening to that 1 degree. The 1 degree that makes the difference. Here are 3 areas where I believe we can apply an extra degree. 212 degrees of attitude. There are predictable and practical differences between the Christian's attitude and the worldly attitude that is so prevalent. These differences should be evident in the Christian's life. Notice what Peter wrote, 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. He said, "To end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. And as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." The notable difference in the attitude of the Christian versus the attitude of the world is brought about because of the things in which Christians give an extra degree. An extra degree of trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. Proverbs 3, verse 5. An extra degree of faith is the difference between being included or excluded from the list of Hebrews chapter 11's Hall of Faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 2 says, "For by it, by their faith, the men of old gained approval." An extra degree of hope is the beauty of Isaiah 40 and verse 31. "Those who wait upon the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary." An extra degree of love in your heart, in your mind, in your soul. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might." Deuteronomy 6 and verse 5. An extra degree of repentance marks the difference between the sorrow of the world and godly sorrow. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. "For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the world produces death." One extra degree of humility leads to exaltation. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time." One extra degree of submission to God is an extra degree of resistance to the devil, James chapter 4, verse 7. An extra degree of praise might keep our praise continual rather than sporadic, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. So if we give this extra degree of attitude, what would we receive? What would our life have that others do not have? Well, an extra degree of attitude toward life makes one fear less. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love." an extra degree of attitude toward life. Makes one courageous, as Paul instructed the Christians. Be on the alert. Stand firm in your faith. Act like men. Be strong. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. An extra degree of attitude toward life makes one rejoice in life. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118, verse 24. One extra degree of attitude causes us or makes us to be forward-looking and positive in it, just as Paul was in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 and 14, or 12 through 14. He said that he pressed on, that he was reaching forward, that he was pressing on toward the goal for the prize. And the difference was that degree. The key to having the mind of Christ was revealed in thought in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11, which we read just a few moments ago. In it, we're taught to be serious about living the Christian life, be serious about your attitude, and be watchful. Love each other deeply. And when you speak the words of God. When you use your talents, use them to the glory of God. And realize all the while that when our responsibilities increase, when our responsibilities grow, our rights shrink. John 15, verse 13. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. We can add another degree of attitude. Just imagine what God could do with such an attitude in changing the world. Another area in which we can add a degree is the degree of service. 212 degrees of service. Being on fire for God. For God has given us many opportunities and He's given us abilities with which to serve in so many ways. He desires our service and He wants us to serve each other and to serve Him out of love. A love that can show the world that we are His. Notice Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, we'll look at verses 9 through 13. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. In this section of Romans chapter 12, Paul is recasting the law as what it has always been, a guide to loving relationships. But now love is not measured. It's not mechanical. It's genuine. It's joyful. It's from the heart. This love for one another and this love for God is what allows the church to function. And the church cannot function without your service. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. It says, "And He gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ." An extra degree of service to people might get you the treatment you want. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, "In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want to be treated, for this is the law and the prophets." A an extra degree of service to people will also bring the blessing of your Father, because you will be doing what others know to do but often go without doing. Matthew chapter 25, verse 34, it's said by Jesus, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" He then enters into a passage of Scripture in which he lists several things which they did for him. And then he notes that those who do not receive that same blessing, those who do not receive that kingdom eternally, are those who knew what to do but did not do it. An extra degree of service to God, though, should not be viewed as, "Look what I have given, look what I have done, look what I have accomplished, look what I have given." Rather, an extra degree of service to God should be viewed as Luke chapter 17 and verse 10 says, as that which we ought to have done. We ought to give an extra degree of service. An extra degree of service to God is essentially to choose life. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 20, there are words that apply directly to the Israelites going into the promised land. But they're very applicable to us as we look forward to the promised land of heaven. It says, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15, "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, that you may live and multiply, and that your Lord your God may bless you in the land where you are entering to possess it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not obey, but are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You will not prolong your days in the land where you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess it. I call on heaven and earth to witness against you today that if I set before you life and death and blessing and cursing, if so you choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants, by loving the Lord your God and obeying His voice and by holding fast to Him, for this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them." If we're going to enter into the promised land of rest, the promised land of eternal life with the Father, we're going to have to be obedient to His commandments, follow His statutes and His judgments. We're going to have to live in a way that pleases Him. We're going to have to live lives that are pursuing that goal, that prize, as Paul was pursuing it. And if we choose not to, if we choose not to obey His commandments, statutes, and judgments, then we are in essence choosing death. And we are choosing to go without the blessings of God. We would do well to add an extra degree of service in our life. We can also add an extra degree, I believe, in evangelism. 212 degrees of evangelism. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, Paul wrote, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction." We need to be the church. I believe it was Joe Rhodes who stood before the Wednesday night Bible class here in this auditorium a few weeks back and spoke to this fact, to this truth. We need to be the church. And if we're going to be the church, then we must recognize that the church is to evangelize. The church is to make disciples and bring them to Jesus. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus instructs that as you go along your way, as you're going about your daily routines, as you go and do the things you do, Make disciples. Make disciples by teaching them of God's will, by teaching them of your desire to follow after Jesus. As we share this message and the message of the resurrected Christ with the world, we will garner the attention of the world. Acts chapter 4, verses 19 and 20. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard." When we preach the message of Christ and we share the message of the gospel with others and do so in a way in which Peter and James, or Peter and John, set the example, sharing it without doubts, sharing it without shame, sharing it without fear, we too will garner the attention of the world. We have a command, we have a responsibility, and a privilege also to bring the word to the world. Yet it seems too often that we're content on bringing the world to the Word instead of taking the Word to the world. We're comfortable inviting others to come and be with us. We're comfortable with inviting others to join our services, to join our Bible classes. And so we're comfortable in bringing the world to the Word. But the charge for the church is to take the Word to the world. Take the Word with you. Take the Word wherever you go and share it. An extra degree of evangelism would be that of going after one more person. An extra degree of evangelism would be that of sharing the message of God with just one more soul. An extra degree of evangelism would be the difference, the real difference in the world. Acts chapter 17 and verse number 6, when the apostles were sharing this message and other Christians as well, were sharing that message of Jesus with the world. They were accused of turning the world upside down. They were accused of upending the world. The same would be true of us if we were to boldly proclaim the truth. And an extra degree of evangelism would be extremely helpful. For an extra degree of evangelism would be going after another person and bringing that soul to Christ. That extra degree, in fact, may be the very thing that's needed to get one that you've been teaching, to get one that you've been praying about for so long but have yet to see a response. It may be an extra degree is needed. It could well be that a person has been studying and teaching and encouraging and praying for an individual, and now it's time for you to take that up and carry the work further. You remember that Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. That one extra degree needed by you, one extra degree needed by you to step in and take someone and bring them along just a bit further. An extra degree in evangelism leads more souls to be discipled to Christ. One extra degree of evangelism leads more souls to being saved. One extra degree of evangelism moves more souls to be restored. And so it is that one extra degree could make all the difference in a person's salvation. We serve a great God. And we cannot begin to imagine all that He can do when we give an extra degree in attitude, in service, in evangelism, or in any godly thing. And so it is this evening that if you have not given your life to Christ, now would be the best time to make that commitment. Because the message of God will lead honest people to believe what it tells us. And the message of God tells us that one must repent of sins, confess the name of Christ, and be baptized for the forgiveness of those sins. That same message of God can cause a Christian to make correction in their life because they find themselves not living up to God's standard. The obedience of each person, whether it be one who is giving their life to Christ or a Christian who is being restored to faithfulness, that obedience will be met by the grace of God so that when He looks at an individual, He sees His child. He sees His child who is covered by the atoning blood of Christ. And it is with great thanksgiving for God's forgiveness and God's grace that we encourage you to strive all the more to live a 212-degree lifestyle. Give that extra degree. It's the difference between victory for yourself and eternally lost state. It's the difference between the salvation of many souls whom you could reach and them being eternally lost. I hope that by these words you have seen within your own life that you are doing that which God would call upon us. That you have the proper attitude, that you're giving the proper service, and that you're evangelizing as you ought to. But I also hope that it will challenge you. Challenge you as it has challenged me to give that extra degree. That one degree that makes all the difference. Tonight, if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, that is that you need to give your life to Him in total commitment, we ask you and invite you